Now that explains it. All right. Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Tonight, we get to work on, again, the contrast that hits the mind. I'm just challenging you with this statement that's right in the paragraph we're reading tonight, which is happiness that does not last is fear. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. That's the kind of quick teaching that we get from this book. No wasting of time, cuts right into the logic. Only the reason of a student of A Course in Miracles accessing your perspective of Holy Spirit would that make any sense at all. That a happiness that does not last is fear.
You buy the new car, but as soon as you get it off the lot, you're afraid someone's going to hit it or scratch it. And you've spent all this money, so you've exchanged your laborious, hard-earned money for this piece of tin that you know is worth half as much when you get it off the lot.
Yep.
You know in 150,000 miles, parts are going to start falling off of it left and right. So you're
Can we talk about that already? Seems
the
like we talked about
you get
that
it off the lot, you start to be afraid that you're going to lose it.
When I studied marketing at Santa Clara University, they called that post-purchase dissonance.
I love it.
And the salesperson's job is to get you into pre-purchase consonance. This is the car for you. It's got everything you need. You'll be very happy with it, and the payments are affordable. I'll take it. But then Ross's story kicks in. The minute you sign, the minute, no matter what. Wait a minute. Maybe I could have got a better price.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So happiness that does not last is actually fear.
Well, that's too bad, because that's the kind of happiness I have most of the time.
That's right. But that's why you're studying A Course in Miracles, because you said to yourself somewhere, there must be a better way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There must be. I said that to myself, too. You know, I like happiness a lot. I thought, wow, this built-in ability to celebrate little moments and big moments is wonderful. And then A Course in Miracles says that happiness is my function. Happiness is the part that I play in God's plan for salvation, even. Really? That's my job description. Coming from on high. I like it. I like it. And then this paragraph says, but fine print. Happiness that does not last is fear. Just to help you sort out whether or not you're following your spiritual path, whether or not you're following your God-given inheritance of joy. Is this happiness that I'm pursuing, is it happiness that I have, is this happiness that I had, that maybe you're pining for, maybe something happened in your life? And you said, boy, those were the good days. Until X happened. And then I question everything good about it. That happened to you? Something in the world sort of shifted on you? Yeah. Go ahead, Luann.
It's a little different than what you just said, but I think it's the same thing in the long run.
Tell us.
The 10 years that I was getting my doctorate degree, every minute of it felt wonderful. And then I quit because I had to go to work afterwards. I loved my work, so I was glad I did it. But that joy, that complete joy of going and learning how to, it was existential, not existential. It was, we studied from bad diseases to to words aren't coming, but like extrasensory perception and death, and, you know, when you really don't die and you remember you saw yourself dead, and out-of-body experiences, of which I had one. It was a funny, really funny thing. But we study that to regular, what's normal, what's not normal, and what's abnormal. And spirituality was included, and body was included. That's one of the reasons we had to take Aikido. Mm. Yeah. So I love that. It was just a combination of everything you would ever want to do. And then it was over.
Somebody else tell me how that maps for you. Does it make any sense for you that happiness that does not last is fear?
But I still remember it, and every time I remember it, I feel happy.
Listen, when you remember, you feel happy. So it's still lasting.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It does not bring anger, a hatred, a sense of lack or loss. It brings a sense of fullness, and I know it because every time you tell us, it's a beautiful story, and it fills you with a sense of direction and purpose that you love. Mm-hmm. Sure. So yeah, that was wonderful. It was even creative, Luann, that journey when you shifted your life.
My creativity was one of the seminars we had to take. Mm-hmm.
So how is it? Anybody else want to chip in before we dig in on this sense or how you feel or what you think? Even if it's the opposite, you're like, no, happiness is happiness and that's it. Is that it? Would you like to discuss that?
Well, how about when I got married, I thought I was going to be happy and it didn't turn out to be happy at all. Except my children. I enjoyed my children. But other than that.
Yes, I would be afraid of a miserable marriage too. Let's talk about happiness that you had or you felt, but it did not last. Okay, Jason, I got your mute. You got it? Good.
Well, I was thinking, it popped up in my mind that happiness is like integrity. You either have it, you have it when you have it, or you don't have it when you don't have it. And the thing about happiness, you can't get to happiness. You either are or you're not.
Isn't that the truth?
I was just listening to a YouTube on kosher money by this rabbi, and he talks so much about it not being about the money. Either you're happy or you're not. Money is not going to do it at all. In fact, it might cause more problems. It's about giving back, and I think that's one of the tenets of the Course in Miracles, is that we give love, especially when it's needed.
Isn't that a nice, tidy little truth that Jason's had some experience in his life, happy moments and unhappy moments. And I like his summary, which is, you know, with or without the material rewards, either you're happy or you're not. It's not about the money. It's not about the relationship. It's not about even the health. It's not about the health. It's not about the wealth. It's not about the company. It's not about the prospects. Isn't that interesting? So what Jason has put his finger on is an absolute nature, a state, happy or not. Would you dare to say that there is no neutral thoughts? There are no neutral thoughts, says A Course in Miracles. This is one of your basic learnings that fights with the ego, and it fights with a lot of other pathways that say that you can abide in neutrality and actually wait for a prayer to be answered, for example, or some of these teachings that say that you can somehow actually wait and be neutral about something. The word that let me not be so accusatory. The word that I've experienced is acceptance. Careful of this word, would you please? There is the idea that you can accept what's happening. Let it be as it is. And that you are neutral about it. Careful. Slippery slope. Because the ego already has a judgment about that situation. Was there a MAGA hat involved somewhere? Were you able to accept, really? Vegetarian or a gross polluter, puffing smoke out the tailpipe right down the middle of the road, we're all breathing it. Careful, careful about this acceptance word. It's because you accept things just as you are is probably, you know, people say, some of these spiritual meetings I've been to say, you know, find your holiness that you are right now and you're perfect just the way you are. Wow, I mean, that's okay for the master. That's okay for the adept. But for the average ego-drunk soul, you are not okay just the way you are. You have made a tidy prison that the Course calls your own personal private hell. So careful, careful. Either you are or you are not happy. I love that simple fact, Jason. A binary fact. Because happiness is, like love is, like God is, like life is. You know, I've used the example many times that when I say absolute and relative, this is part of a teaching perspective, if you will, where the truth is it always is and it never changes. Right? And yet here you are in a world of change. How does this reconcile? So I ask you to open your mind to allow an absolute nature to exist for something like life. Life is, folks. It is. We can't explain it. Science falls apart further. It breaks down when it tries to describe life. Now, living, it can describe and chart and give you examples and show you this bird with a longer beak gets more ants. Therefore, this bird, there's a greater population because it has a longer beak. And it will go in all sorts of details to show you how living works. If that bird dies, life is unchanged. The absolute nature of life is unchanged if any one bird dies. Do you see what I'm getting at? Somebody jump in and tell me what I just said. The absolute versus the relative.
Kind of lost me with the bird.
Okay, good.
I was reading lesson 156 today.
Okay.
That's exactly what you're saying.
What's 156?
Now it doesn't sound like it when you read it, but it's I walk with God.
Mm-hmm. In perfect holiness. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In perfect holiness. Thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about, okay, what does that mean? And if you describe God the way the book does, then for me, everything about that is absolute. So right. Life is absolute. Love is absolute. Wisdom or creativity is absolute. So far, I haven't described everything that God is yet. But I know that at least those are absolute.
Albert, tell me. Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I was thinking about when it says that happiness does not last, that means that happiness is not real.
There we go. Just,
it's part of the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes. It must not be real.
Oh,
man. He's got us. Albert has now just drawn a razor's edge, it's called elsewhere. He's drawing the illusion, and he said there's a truth. There's an ideal and an idea of happiness. Mm-hmm. But he's drawn a line. He says, if it doesn't cross this line, it actually is part of the illusion. Not real. Very good. Very good.
And yet when we were talking about happiness earlier, I was going deep inside and saying, you know, if I get past all of this other crap, I am basically happy.
Right. Right. Say that again. If you get past all the other crap, in other words, if you look through the illusion, if you look past appearances, past the appearances, you're just happy. You.
I don't think there's a happiness. I mean, there's a happiness that is in us. But, you know, the ego has got us. And so when it gives us a happiness, it's so we can feel bad afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. When the bird.
The ego is kind of happiness, not.
I'm going to switch from birds to flowers because one of us is actually a bird caretaker and raises birds. And I'm afraid. We don't want to get too close and near and dear to that wonderful occupation.
I'm made of sure stuff. Fear not.
Okay, good. One more time, then I'll drop it. Because it's not, we'll just let the books speak and we'll get what we get. But this really works for me, and that is this. Let's take, instead of happiness, instead of life, flowerdom, okay? Flowers. I haven't even told you what kind of flower, have I? But everybody here knows what a flower is. So, there is a concept of flowers. It already exists in all of our minds. If you look at the encyclopedia under flowers, you're going to get a description. Genus, species, etc. It's going to stem and it's going to have different parts will describe that makes a flower and not a tree or a blade of grass. Okay, just flowers. That's a topic. Now, let's just think of a single flower. It's my flower in my yard. On my deck, it's a rock rose. This is a flower, like Luann is a extension. Ross is an extension of God, a single thought of God that has gone into form. The flower is a thought of flowerdom that has gone into form. Briefly, they last about a week, 10 days, don't they? These rock roses are not long-lived. That's why you don't buy them in a bouquet. They are beautiful. They are vibrant. And they are dead very quickly. So I can see it. You guys can imagine it. Red rose. When that flower dies, and it is gone, Is the idea of flowers harmed? Ross, is the idea of flowers harmed because one lived and died?
Well, okay, you said idea, so immediately that makes me think, well, all ideas are in my mind. Ideas do not leave their source, so therefore that idea will always be there.
Always be there. Will always be there. Your lowercase mind has the ability to deny what it knows. Your uppercase mind also works the exact same way, only it's based on truth. It's aware of truth. So when you will, special word in A Course in Miracles, or when you create, which is the same thing, it never goes away. The ego made up death where things can actually go away. And it's been a blast. But it's not the level that we go to in our awakening, in oneness. So the idea of flowers, even if all of them disappear, folks, every last one of them on this planet and every other planet, if you believe in that, they're all gone. Flowerdom is absolute, see? It never dies. Do you see? You have to go out of form. You have to go to the invisible. That's what a miracle does. A miracle goes out of form. A miracle goes to the invisible. And it finds the commonality among all flowers, not the differences. The ego stays in form, stays in what's visible, and it only notices the differences. The absolute is of oneness, and the specific is of separation. You must move from the specifics, from the separation, from the world of loss, where death is absolutely real, to a happiness that lasts forever. It must not be happiness based on form that gets sick and tired and dies. I want to take you real quick. Well, actually, let's just jump in. Unless anybody else wants to say something, let's jump in and see a paragraph in lesson 133. So hold your finger. Well, you're not even there yet to our tonight's reading, or maybe you are, but we're going to do that in a moment. I want you to see a particular paragraph before we get started. And it's going to be...
Andrew?
Yeah.
I wanted to say something. So yeah, when I was thinking about, you know, doing the flowers and imagining, when I went to oneness, because flower has form and has so many forms in the illusion, I couldn't even imagine what flower in oneness is.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How can you even know flower in oneness, because that's so specific? I couldn't.
Concept.
Okay. Yeah, but the concept, we know flower, but every one of you is thinking of a different flower and all these different forms. And so, and it, I guess it's kind of the same with spirit. You know, we know all these body forms, we know one another. So to actually be able to, in oneness, know spirit, actually be able to have the experience of spirit. Now, maybe if I were meditating, I could have the experience of flower without form, without a thought of form.
That a girl.
So, but I'm
flower
not sure.
Flower.
But how could that be?
Without a thought of form.
But how could that be? I mean, see, that's the thing.
Can you have the thought of a house? House. Without form, without a specific form.
Qualities, maybe, but because I guess, you know, in meditation, or if I were to able to go to that level of oneness, I can't even imagine what any of those things would be like.
This must happen because that's what an extension is. And you are an extension of God. A thought is an extension of mind. Mind is an extension of spirit. It gets more and more specific the closer you get to separation. So you are right on track, Jacqueline.
Everything would disappear, actually. It would just be gone. It would all fall away, I guess, you know.
Can you say that lineage again so I can write it down?
You bet. You bet. This is the progression from absolute God to relativity. First, there is God. God is, and then we cease to speak. There is everything, and it's equal to nothing, because it is absolute and complete, an indelible oneness. Then came spirit. And actually, I'm gonna introduce this a little bit. We don't talk about before spirit came being. Being. From being emanated spirit with a capital S. This was also coincident with the beginning of life, of movement of the absolute, which actually the absolute cannot move, cannot change, cannot be described. It can't even think. It is, and we must speak. We must cease to speak. Now comes spirit. First comes being, then comes spirit. Spirit now has a particular energy to it. Being does not have energy. Being is. Spirit now is the manifestation of being. It is universal. It is all-encompassing. It is infinite. It has all the qualities of perfection. But it is a movement. Nothing particular. No particular movement at all. Next level is mind. Mind, this is a quote from A Course in Miracles. Mind is the activating agent of spirit. And from those five words, is it mind? So many words. That's where my entire philosophy and meditation came from, and my awakening came from. From Manual for Teachers, where it says mind is the activating agent of spirit. From everything I'm about to tell you came from those handful of words in the Manual for Teachers. It was clear. It's like, wow. Mind exists as an activating agent of spirit, the motivation of spirit manifests in mind. Mind is more specific than spirit, isn't it? Spirit is more specific than being, isn't it? Being is more specific than God, isn't it? So now as we try to speak, we've gone all the way to mind so far. Mind, so mind is just mind. It's this power. The activating agent of mind is thought. Thought is more specific than mind, isn't it? No mind, no thought.
So thoughts are words?
Words are activating agents of mind. Pictures are of thoughts. Pictures are activating agents of thoughts. Concepts are activating agents of thoughts, not mind. Mind is a power. It's a tool. It's a blackboard with nothing written on it. And then you commit to the writing. You commit to the specifics, whether it's pictures or ideas or concepts. You have thoughts, which are activating agents of mind. And now, as we move, as we manifest, and Jacqueline, I want you to pay attention that this is a creative effort. This entire thing is an explanation of creation. And a creative mind. So as we move forward now, with our thoughts, this is where A Course in Miracles comes in, and you have the ability to do wrong thinking, right thinking, or oneness. One, thinking of oneness. You have free will. Yes. Yes. So here's the opportunity for you to shift to very specific, or a non-capital S spiritually driven lineage. Right thinking has the spirit of oneness and of truth. But at this point, you may deny with what? You may deny with thoughts. You may deny with thoughts. You may have an activating agent of mind because you have free will and you're mighty creative considering where you came from. You may now divide the mind, and you did. Now you have thoughts that are of specifics, okay? So the activating agent of the individuated, okay, I skipped a layer because it's a controversial word. It's soul, and I'm going to skip that because it's too controversial right now. So let's just stay with thoughts. So now you have an individuated thought, and the activating agent of the individuated thought is actually soul. Okay, but let's go all the way to body. Let's go to body. Now you have the ability to be separate. And the thought pattern on this lineage, in the separation lineage, the individuation lineage, which leads to separation. If you want to be specific, I really should write this out for you, but it's a wonderful explanation of, to me, everything that's going on.
Well,
yeah, Ross.
I wanted to, this is exactly what I've been thinking about for a long time. God is, and then you progress down the levels, and what you have to do is find the level that you can accept, because God isn't very helpful when you're dealing with the Texas shooting. You can't relate to the parents, you can't relate to anything by just saying God is. But there's a level down to where you're getting at now, where you can start to go, okay, I can deal with the Texas shooting now at this level. I know the truth is up here, what God is, but where my level of acceptance today is way down here, where I can identify with the parents, I can identify with, oh my God, I can't imagine how it would be to lose a child. That level is where you can accept it today.
Excellent. So
how do I get the recording of this? Because that was just a real I'm with you 100% in how you drop down the levels.
Excellent.
God is progressively. Love that.
Perfect. Thank you, Ross. All these meetings are recorded for the last 7 years or something like that.
I know. I just want this one.
Yeah. Remember, just write the date down. They're all recorded. The date's recorded in the section of the book we're reading is a way to quickly find.
It's on your website.
It's on my website. Yeah, under live meetings. Okay, and it takes me a couple of weeks to get it up there, and I'm about 4 months behind. Sorry.
That's exactly what I've been trying to formulate. Is it's just what you can accept, because God is the ultimate truth. If you can go there, go there, and that's your reset. To me, every time you get confused by level confusion, go back and start at God is. It's like when the computer help desk says, unplug your computer and plug it back in, and all you want to have is the BIOS running, right? Because you know that's solid. Everything else is subject to question. But God is always going to be true, and you'll never get confused.
Yes.
And even if you go, what was your first step? Being.
Yes.
If you go to being, you might start to get confused there.
Yep.
But if you do, go back to God is.
Very good, Ross.
And if you get confused at, what was the next level?
Spirit.
Spirit. If you get confused at spirit, go back to God is, because your solid foundation. God is, you have no lips to speak. You have no ears to hear. There's no section of mind separate enough to have any individuation.
There's no place where God ends and you begin. Quote from the Course. Yeah. How can that be true? You're on it, Ross. Excellent.
But you're putting it into this wonderful sequence.
Which it goes further.
I've been struggling with this for the last few days. How this?
I'll send you a link. I'll make a note to send this to you as soon as it's as soon as I get it carved into MP3.
This is what I didn't get the bird thing, but I certainly get this.
I want you to get the bird thing. I think you'll find it helpful too.
I'm not sure. I want the bird thing.
Yeah, I kind of need you to get it. Then I know somebody else can get it.
One of the levels is concept pictures. Concept.
You're right. So now we got ourselves into thoughts, and we got ourselves into thoughts of separation. And how do we activate? What's the activating agent of these thoughts of separation? How about a body? Time and space are thoughts that help give the body a context and activate. Now they can activate the thoughts of a separate body. Time exists, so everything doesn't happen all at once. Space exists, so it doesn't all happen to you. Do you see? Time and space are now activating agents of separation. But there's more.
Even lower levels.
Even lower. Thank you, Ross. Even lower. We're going further and further away from God is
more separate.
And the absolute nature that is unindelible, where we must be. We're going more and more separate and more specific. And specifics were made so that you can dance in separation and you can live and abide and exchange and stay in separation. This is taught straight out of the book. Specifics are the coin of the separate mind. It's not bad. It's not a sin. It's not bad at all. I'm telling you, it's a blast.
Yeah, when you don't take it so seriously.
When you don't take it so seriously.
And then you can, the eye-opener for me, and I know I've said this, but it's that the chain of forgiveness is actually an inverted pyramid of forgiveness to go back up. So you start with the specific, the guy who was tailgating me today driving home, okay? I had to forgive him because that's what was happening right now. That was the specific. But then I could go back and go, okay, now I need to return to peace. So I need to forgive myself and him. Now I need to forgive the world because the world is what I made up so that I could project my guilt onto him or the guy who shot everybody in the school in Texas. That's what I made. And I need to reinterpret that with the Holy Spirit part of my mind's health to where I forgive the entire world because I made it just specifically so that I could have someplace to place my unconscious guilt that I perceive that I separated from God, which I never did, which is what I have to forgive, which creates the upside-down pyramid of atonement from forgiveness. So forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness until you hit the atonement, which is the entire sonship reuniting, the son reuniting with the sonship.
And that pyramid begins and is built on the foundation of the point, this inverted pyramid of a really, a true act of forgiveness, not word service, lip service, not a forgiveness just to feel good, but because it's the truth. And then the pyramid is built. Are you willing to see what you've denied because it's the truth? And then the power of forgiveness really begins as the correction that it is based on the miracle. The shift in perception allows the forgiveness to be honest. Then this inverted pyramid begins and generalization happens of itself, Ross. Generalization happens of itself. You first have to use specifics and maybe a lot of them. The workbook says you better practice because you're probably not ready to generalize. Better do the button, better do the trash can, better do the, teacup. But you'll start to feel what this pyramid. You start to feel the power of it. One true act of forgiveness. This begins the miracle that introduces you to the power of your mind. to live by your thoughts, to be corrected toward oneness, to go from darkness to light.
But the other thing I've realized is since there is no time, it's really now. It's not that, oh, it's steps. I need to take these steps. No, it can happen.
They appear to be steps.
They
appear to be steps because you're so drunk on time. And so no problem. Your Holy Spirit, and this is Jesus' job. This bridge of the perspective of individuality, minutes and seconds and bodies, to bridge that toward oneness, that's what A Course in Miracles is. That's what your Holy Spirit does, this crazy, amazing bridge where it absolutely sees your differences, but absolutely doesn't believe them. You absolutely believe the differences, and you're trying to see the Spirit's oneness.
Differences between your brothers, everything I imagine is what
everything, happy, sad, hot, cold, love, hate. These seem to be polarities.
Yeah.
Past, future.
Bad things happening, good things happening. Everything. Yeah. Okay.
Everything. Differences are not true. Let's take a little side. Somebody remind me to continue this progression a few more steps. Okay, who was writing it down? Jason, you remind me to finish.
Yeah, where were we at?
but another important thought. Let me introduce this thought to you at this juncture in this discussion. Differences are made up. They are commitments in specificity that you believe and you live by and you abide, and then pretty soon become opinionated and you have to support the differences in order to discuss what is, say, for example, Dr. Day will have an opinion on what's healthy and unhealthy. Somewhere he draws the line among the differences in healthy and unhealthy. Bird food. Exercise. It's good. It's good to jog, but to jog on the freeway of carbon monoxide, it might be better to, right? So somewhere we draw a line. The difference is every
Can't you go with there's no hierarchy of illusions?
Yes. So
in other words, I was thinking about that. In other words, the coronavirus, oh my goodness, that's got to be horrible because there's a million deaths. Well, wait a minute. What about the Texas shooting? That was 22 deaths. Well, wait a minute. What about my neighbor dying yesterday or whatever? Isn't the coronavirus way more horrible than the 22?
Yeah.
No, there's no hierarchy of illusions.
What's the deadliest thing on the planet?
Death? I don't know.
The mosquito. The mosquito has killed more humans than bullets or cancer or combined. The mosquito spreads diseases of all types for all of human history.
So that must be the worst of the illusions.
We just have to let that go because we can't fix that.
I was going to say thought.
Yeah. All right. Let's grab this idea and then we'll go back to our progression and get back to our reading. Boy, we're going to pull out. Okay. All right. I just want you at this point, because we've got this far in this discussion of metaphysics, I want to give you one more concept of metaphysics that helped me wonderfully. And it's this. The topic is differences don't actually exist. They're picked. Okay, here it is. Surely you think there's a difference between hot and cold, don't you? Surely. Wrong. There's only hot.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's less hot. We call less hot cold, but it isn't. graphically speaking, I think everybody's experienced this, where you've been maybe you've been chilled when you're outside the ocean water because you're on the beach and it's in the winter and it's chilly, and you get in the cold ocean water and it actually feels kind of warm. You know it's not warm. Eventually, you'll shiver in there, but the difference is warm.
Well, science will tell you cold is the absence of heat.
It's the absence of heat. It's not the presence of cold. It's the absence of molecular motion and kinetic energy. The more kinetic energy, the more heat. End of topic. Cold does not exist. Hot exists. This is the idea of hot. And we make up cold and make up distinctions and we throw it around as if it actually existed, and it doesn't. So you see, this kind of separate thinking allows us to build a world of separation. You can go into sexes, you can go into race, you go into body weight, you can go into dietary choices, you can on and on and on. Country, the differences just don't end. However, as we go back to our discussion of this progression from oneness to separation, you can see that the effort of the mind, which came through thoughts, could make specifics. That can be reversed, which is what A Course in Miracles does, and what a miracle is to reverse this progression at whatever level you can afford. It means handle with your mind. And that word is in A Course in Miracles also. I learned that word, to use that word afford, in my spiritual awakening from page, I think it's page 11. But it might be page 9 in the Manual for a Teacher. And I was like, wow, that one word popped off the page and says, that's handy. Describing how much you can hold, what how much veil you're allowing yourself to push aside. Before A Course in Miracles, I couldn't afford much discussion like we're doing now. I was just too buried in being specific and making a better world and a better Andrew. I did great, but I was wanting. I thought there must be a better way to get happiness that lasts longer. Happiness is independent of the outcome. Is that possible? I begin to think, oh, it's possible. All right, so you got that? Cold doesn't exist. It's a great example of this drunkenness on specifics that we've got ourselves into. So, does everybody understand that? Cold doesn't exist. Anybody want to argue with that? There's just less hot. Does anybody want to argue with that? Because I'm now going to move it using that concept now. I'm going to take a metaphysical discussion into hate. Luann.
I don't want to argue with you, but I do want to say that when you think about a flower, it's a concept.
Yes.
A concept comes before individuation.
Good. Good. She's putting it together. She's piecing together flowerdom, where all the flowers are gone and flowerdom is untouched, where all the examples of life are gone of living, right? Examples of life is called living. All of them are gone. And yet life is untouched. Ross, life is untouched by any example of it living, of it manifesting. Do you see?
Oh, no.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I love it. Hey, keep with it. Argue with me as long as you can, because nobody else gets it either. And that either I haven't found the right words, because I know everybody will love this once you get it.
Once you think about it, then life is a concept. And to get beyond life, we have to do the step backwards or forwards, depending on which way you're going.
Well, Luann is walking right up to it. Listen to her go. She's walking right up to it. Go ahead, Jason.
I understand I built this creature called Jason, but that's a concept. I mean, a dog doesn't know it's a dog. A tree doesn't know it's a tree. Those are concepts we've made and agreed upon arbitrarily. Because actually a dog could be a tree, or I could be a dog. But we've made this arbitrarily, things called words,
yep,
to make it sort of like we're agreeing on our separations.
You got it. Painting it up with specifics. And that's the next level in the distinctions. Now that we have time, space, with separate bodies, what's the manifestation of that? The world, a place for a body to call home, other bodies, put it in a ball, put some air and some water on it, spin it up in space, give it some heat, give it some cold, we got a world. And we've got an isolated, separated place, a commitment to explore how far can you go away from God is and ceasing to speak. How far can you go away from absolute, away from oneness? This is what you've been doing.
You know, that reminds me of that movie in the book about, I can't remember who wrote it, but it was about going into the ocean with a device like a submarine, which had never been invented yet.
Hmm.
He came up with that idea, and now we have submarines.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm. And that idea is never going to go away. Even if all the submarines, an alien came in and sucked away all the submarines, every one of them, Luann would still have that thought. It's not gone.
Yeah.
Jacqueline.
Well, one thing I feel like I understood a little bit in a meditation was that words and thoughts mark time. So every word is time, right? Every thought is time. So it's marking, it's part of the illusion of time. And that's why silence, if we can go into complete silence, thoughts, that's where we come into the timelessness and the eternal present.
Wow. You'd have to give up the intervals. Yes, Jacqueline. That's why presence, that's why stillness, that's why these meditations are required. Course in Miracles puts it this way. This is a quote. You must step out of an insane thought system to know that it is insane. This is what she is describing. Okay, enough metaphysics for now. Let's get in and have Jesus chat it up. And we'll see that wonderful sentence that just launched all of this. And then we'll see that there's more in that paragraph that we're just choosing not to discuss because we only have an hour and a half. Okay, everybody, turn to, I took you to the workbook, but we're going to skip that because we need to get on with tonight's reading. Let's go back to the text and go to page 471 in the text, page 471, chapter 22. Section 2. We're trying to lay some groundwork for the truth. What could it even be when you have so much evidence that's contradictory? That's what we're doing. And we're doing that in this section. We're doing that tonight. And one of the things that came out was the truth of hot versus cold. I hope you got that. If anybody didn't get that little discussion, it's really worth stopping the meeting and getting it. Because this work on a spiritual awakening and spiritual journey, you're going from specifics to the general. You're going from the incremental to the continuous. And the idea that there is no such thing as cold could be very helpful for you to see that cold is just a shortcut, that avoids understanding that there is only hot, or hot, less hot. It's a judgment to say it's cold, isn't it? Of wherever you happen to be in time and space with your body. Oh, that's cold. It's not cold if you come from Alaska in the snow. It's like cold. When I bought my car, the guy sold me my car was from Alaska. And here in Los Gatos, it was like 57 degrees. I had my jeans. I had my long sleeve shirt. I had my sweater. I was like dressed for 57 degrees in California. He was in shorts with a loose fitting shirt. He says, man, I can't get used to these temperatures. He was from like a Nome or someplace way up there above Fairbanks. You know, it's always super, super cold. He thought this was really warm. He says, guys, you guys don't even get below 40. He says, 40 is when I think about putting pants on. I got it. That was a little lesson for me, the relativity of it all. So we're working on how can the truth be observable when lies or hatred or how can the light be present when you see darkness? How can love be present when you think hate? How can your brother be sinless when he's that ass holy one that you're having so much trouble with? Everybody's having trouble with him. He went and got a gun and shot up a school. Certainly he's full of sin. He must be. I mean, come on. We got to draw a line somewhere, right? How can that be? How can it be? How can it be? Remember, there is no such thing as cold. There's no such thing as cold. That's a judgment that you committed to and you speak of it. You're drunk on it now. You're drunk. You're drunk. I say to you, you're drunk on the idea of cold, just as you're drunk on the idea of separation, and you do not challenge it because it's handy, isn't it? To use the word cold is really handy. To be separate and to be called Kenny is really handy. We know who he is. There, I see him. I see you, Kenny. It's so handy. I'm not giving it up. Why would I? Ross.
I think time is the one that really got me because it's just so tempting to wait. Well, I need to wait until I need to one more time through the workbook. Then I'll get it. I know that that's been my hang up. It's like, well, no, you know, I didn't do the last time I didn't do this workbook put lessons quite right. So next time I'll get it right. And that's the big hang
up. It'll be easy then.
We're going to wait until we transform into this person that's going to get it. And for me, it was like this breakthrough. Wait a minute, there is no time. So it's got to be right now that I am the enlightened son of God that I need to be. I always have been. I have to get rid of that time concept. It's that was the critical one for me, and I'm still, of course, wrestling with it.
You remember, look at our progression?
To get back to God is, I have to go, hey, man, there is no time, so God is right now. The holy instant is right now. I am the one I'm seeking right now. I am the enlightened one, not the Ross character, right now.
Look at him go. He's going right to the door.
I am just pushing away by all these defenses against the truth. That's the only thing keeping me from realizing God is right now.
Yes.
Because there is no time.
Yes.
And that was like the big...
You're drunk on specifics, drunk on time. Time making, you know, painting is obviousness always. Same with space. So obvious, it's just too hard to deny.
Yeah,
and yet,
right here.
And yet, you love, and I say love because it has a feeling, Ross. You love when you say there is no time, because it touches the light that is in you. Is this true?
Yeah. And there's no space, so it's right here. There's no, nowhere for me to go to be God is.
Yep.
It's right here, right now.
Yep.
And as soon as I drop the defenses against the truth, which I'm putting up,
yep.
and I know it, and I know better, but I keep doing it anyway.
Even though you're not in the bar, you keep thinking of drinking.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Well, when you put in the addiction world. You got it, Jason? What do you got?
Well, one of the illusions of space I was listening to today is like, I can sit in a chair, but that chair, you can't sit in the chair when I'm in the chair. That's an illusion. If that makes any sense to anybody.
It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? 12 degrees below zero, that's cold. I don't care what else you want to call it, but let me tell you about cold. With wind chill, it feels like 20 degrees below zero. When Jason's sitting in his chair, I can't sit in his chair. He's used up that space, hasn't he? He specifically and particularly has his chair. This is on the continuum of the pursuit of separation. Specifics are really handy for separation. Space is there so that everything doesn't happen to you and that Jason can have his own chair. Time is there so it doesn't all happen at once. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, this time and space is the one of the most fantastic
to play with.
To play with. And we can do more than play, Ross. You know we're more powerful than just play. We'll deal with that another night. Jacqueline.
Nothing's happening is what the book tells us.
Yes.
Right? So.
Yes. Yes, nothing's happening.
What the Course teaches.
No. In a dream, nothing happens. You see, nothing happens in movies either. Did you know that? You take a movie like Gone with the Wind. Did everybody see Gone with the Wind? Everybody? Most people. All right, so you go Gone with the Wind, and there's Plantation, right? There was a fire, right? There was Rhett Butler. Everybody remembers Rhett Butler. There was no Rhett Butler, folks. Made up. Rhett Butler didn't actually happen. So, but all of us know him. So Gone with the Wind was a real movie. But movies are not real. See, there's room for reconciliation there. There's room for an awakening there. Let me give you another one. The sun rose and then dropped today. Now it's dark outside. The sun did not rise. The earth turned, didn't it? Oh, yeah. The sun didn't go across the sky. Sitting there and the earth turned. Oh yeah, I forgot. Do you see? So here we are getting further and further drunker on specifics. And now we've decided to turn with A Course in Miracles and your spiritual awakening to go back toward a spiritual awakening instead of a material manifestation. So in order to do that, You must, Jacqueline, and Ross, and Kenny, and Luann, and Tim, and Jason, and Albert. You must get comfortable with turning back toward oneness with whatever you can reach, however long your arms are to reach, and perhaps understanding, starting with the idea that there actually is no cold, could help. There actually is no separation. There actually is no hate. Hate is on the continuum of love. Love is, and then we cease to speak. It is. It really is. Love really is. heat really is, but we focus on cold. Love really is, but we focus on hate and trying not to have more hate. Okay, so let's get into some Jesus words here. Go to page 471. Look at this paragraph we're about to read. It's almost an embarrassment that we're just focusing on one sentence in this paragraph, but, you know, we got to do what we can. There's more. I mean, we could definitely go through this thing again, but we'll go with what we've been led by Spirit to focus on tonight. So paragraph 3 on page 471. And Ross, would you read that paragraph for us when you get there? I got your mute. My pleasure.
Illusions carry only guilt and suffering, sickness and death to their believers. The form in which they are accepted is irrelevant. No form of misery in reason's eyes can be confused with joy. Joy is eternal. You can be sure indeed that any seeming happiness that does not last is really fear. Joy does not turn to sorrow, for the eternal cannot change. But sorrow...
Heat does not actually turn to cold. It's heat. Sorry, I jumped in. Please please continue.
And light does not turn to dark. Well, it kind of does. Light is the absence of... Wait.
Come on, buddy. Go
dark,
for it.
Dark is the absence of light.
Yes, Ross. It's so relative, yeah. Isn't it? You got it, buddy.
Talks a lot about light and dark in the course.
Good.
But sorrow can be turned to joy, for time gives way to the eternal. Only the timeless must remain unchanged, but everything in time can change with time. Yet, if the change be real and not imagined, illusions must give way to truth and not to other dreams that are but equally unreal. This is no difference.
So I said negative 12 degrees, and that's certainly cold. No, it's not. There is no cold. If we're going to start to speak of the truth, we have to talk about relative warm. Relative warm. There is no hate. There's just your ability to love. And your focus on whether your focus is loving or your focus is denying love and having absence of love. Your cold is just not respecting warm. It's actually respecting cold and putting it in terms of what you don't want and making increments of cold. It's actually increments of hot. This is what we actually experience. Do you see?
Same thing with light.
Same thing with light. Same thing with flowers and flower dumb. Same thing. You look at that one bird that Tim has there. That is certainly, that. I'm sorry. I mean, that's a beautiful bird, all due respect, but that does not represent birds. It does not. Is that fair? Yes, it's a bird. It's 100% a bird. You are 100% God. But if you start to focus on just that one bird, you're going to miss what bird actually means. Aren't you? You're too cold, you're too close, you're too specific, and you're too separate. If Tim's bird, you're settling for that. This is what's happened with you and your body in this world. Before Course in Miracles, before your spiritual path, you settled for this as reality. This is it. I was made by God to be just, Andrew was made by God. Andrew goes to heaven. Andrew will end up getting his own cloud with his own harp that he gets to strum forever when he gets to heaven. That bird Tim's yellow and orange bird is not all birds. It is a microscopic representation that just is a singular example of what some aspects of bird. So it is 100% bird, isn't it? But it's not 100, it's not birds. Do you see how limiting it is to allow specifics to be true, to be the truth? This is the challenge.
Okay, I kind of get it now.
Good, because your words are probably better than mine once you decide to teach us this concept. So we now are opening our minds to the absolute nature of birds in this case. There are birds with talons and blue. There are birds that are black.
Right.
And if any of these die, birds have not changed. In fact, they all die. Did you know that? 99.9% of all the species that ever existed on this, I said 99.9. I think it's more nine. So I'm stopping with that. 99.9% of all species that ever lived on this planet are extinct. Are extinct. They're not just dead.
They're extinct.
They're extinct, never to be again. 99.9. I think it's 99 something.
So like all. It's like, is it kind of like all Teslas aren't cars because they make SUV kind of cars and they have batteries and they have carburetors, but they have steering wheels. So they're not really, Teslas aren't all cars.
They're not really representing cars. It's myopic. It's putting blinders on. If you're saying Tesla represents cars, not even close does Tesla represent cars. It's a fine car. That's a fine bird. But it's very, very close-minded to think that this actually represents truth. This is the continuum, if you will. This discussion we're having is meant to lead you on a metaphysical discovery to move you away from relativity and start to open your mind to the term absolute, to spirit. Everybody, quick, turn to Miracle Principle 7. And see how this book is based on this concept in a way. And see why I'm spending so much time on it and why this is a metaphysical principle. Number 7. Or actually, I want you to read 17 and then 7. Number 17 on page 4. Albert, would you read that for us?
Yeah. 17. Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the body, bodily level. That is why they heal.
And now if I had a whiteboard and I charted this progression that we described earlier, and then we got the the body there, I tap my finger on the body, right? And I said the miracle has to get away from the bodily level. That'd be the level of specifics. Allowing us to go back to the universal nature of thoughts, which leads us to mind, which leads us to spirit, which leads us to being, which leads us to God. But as Ross beautifully said, You're going to get traction from where you are looking at the next step up. That's where you should be focusing. It's good. Now, please, Albert, read for us number 7. And why are we spending so much time on this concept? And why must we spend time on a concept like there is no cold? Or that the earth spins, the sun does not go around the earth. Okay. Why? Albert, go for it. Number 7.
Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first.
There's the fine print. It really is necessary. But you're so loved that if you want to stay in the sandbox here of separation, you may forever. But because you're actually made of love and you can't find love here, you won't be satisfied. You're growing up. And so, of course, the miracles and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, these manifestations are natural. These are natural manifestations. Just like you would seek warm. If you got too cold, you would automatically seek warm. And so purification is necessary in order for the miracles to have traction. This is the metaphysics that we're working on tonight. I think you can feel it. You can feel the challenge. You can feel the challenge when I took away cold. You could feel the challenge. And you already have the, you took away the idea that the sun goes around the earth when you were a kid. You let that one go, didn't you? Well, same discussion. It really does appear that the earth, that the sun goes around the earth, but it's not true. So love is true, and anything other than love, even though it appears real, it is not true. What a relief. How restful is it to become familiar with the truth? And so, okay, thank you. Let's go get this paragraph under our belt. 471. And Ross, did you read the whole thing?
Yep.
Yeah. He did. Yes, he did. Okay, thank you. So, what a great paragraph. Right, let's see if we can just look at a few sentences in there before we go. 471, paragraph 3, illusions carry only guilt and suffering, sickness and death to their believers. Course in Miracles can say this with such authority because the idea, the truth, is an inclusive nature, an inclusive state, the truth. Illusions like time, like space, like bodies, like concepts of division are divisive by their very nature. This is a quote from the Course. This is a quote. It's describing the ego. It happens to be in perfect iambic pentameter. Its very nature is that it is not. Now you know it's Course in Miracles, twisted statement like that. But you feel it. When you start to get traction here, this is all a celebration of the truth, and it's all very directed back toward this oneness discussion. This whole book just becomes more and more has more and more gravity toward the truth and away from illusions. And it's amazing how gentle it is for how radical it is. But this is pretty good. Illusions carry only guilt and suffering, sickness and death to their believers. Yeah, because they divide, right? They're the opposite of love. The form in which they are accepted is irrelevant. No form of misery in reason's eyes can be confused with joy. Pretty clear. Well, for starters, sentence 4. Joy is eternal. That's a short sentence in your book. anytime the word eternal comes up, you can, Jesus got a little smirk on his face. He says, I know you can't handle eternal, but at least hold the idea for a few moments. But he revisits it again and again and again, and you will celebrate, give him a high five when eternal is your swan song. When you grasp that your nature has to be eternal, if your spirit, if you are invisible, the real, what you actually are. Okay, now we can go look at this one sentence I wanted to show you, because it just shows you that the workbook follows up on everything we're doing. And it does it so cleverly. It's like maximum respect to that workbook. Yeah, I think the rest of the paragraph is pretty much repeating, you know, what we've discussed already so much. Yeah, I think it does. So now I'll give you another gift of showing you how the workbook follows up on this metaphysical teaching. And, you know, we're going to go 500 pages later. 400 pages later. After this comes up, go 400 pages later. And Jesus is still thinking about you and about your mind and about helping you completely understand this and welcome it and cross the bridge with him to truth. So everybody turn into the workbook to page 245. 245 from 471 in the text. All of that reading, all of that work, all of those lessons. And here it is backed up. This metaphysical teaching that we've now spent an hour and a half on is mentioned here again with certainty. This is one of the more practical, well, they're all practical, these lessons. Oh my God. But lesson 133, I will not value the valueless. I have decided I will awaken. I decided I want truth. Remember what we're reading? Are you willing to accept what you've denied because it's the truth, because it's valuable? The truth is more valuable than illusion. We just read illusions caused all the mayhem of your life. You know it. Okay, Jesus, I'll accept your lesson today. I will not value the valueless, but how will I know that it's valuable? I've raced all my life trying to get healthier, wealthier, and wiser, and get better friends so I can be happy. He says, I'll tell you in this lesson. Jesus, do we have enough time? We have just enough time not to do this. Okay, well, we'll come back to this lesson. I'll explain you more, all the steps of what Jesus lays out. But I just want you to see this one because it backs up everything we were talking about. Look at paragraph 6. It's the first one that he points out. Remember we talked about happiness in this paragraph, and it says happiness that does not last is not only not real, it's actually fear. Jesus says, no. If the happiness doesn't last, it means you're on the other side of thinking. You're in wrong-mindedness. If the happiness doesn't last, then whatever you were doing was wrong-minded, and therefore it's fearful. How can Jesus say so confidently that it's fearful? Because there's only love or fear. That's it. That's the whole menu. You've tried to make more. But it's not actually even fear, because fear is like saying cold. There's no cold. There's actually no fear. It's only a matter of love. Let me remind you of this sentence from page 217. Fear is a call for love in an unconscious recognition of what has been denied. Isn't that beautiful poetry to what we're talking about? Cold is a call for warmth in an unconscious recognition that warmth has been denied. Fear is a call for love in an unconscious recognition that love has been denied. All you can see is the fear. All you can feel is the cold. Get rid of the cold. I don't care how much warm I get. I just want to be less cold, right? Busted. Busted. Book of paragraph 6, he says it right here as an edict here. He says, how do I know what's valuable and valueless, Jesus? How do I know? And paragraph 6 says, well, first, if you choose a thing that will not last forever, what you chose is valueless. Black and white, stated. And then he takes out his hammer and he says it 5 more times in a row in the whole rest of this paragraph to make his point. A temporary value is of no value at all. That's sentence 2. 3. Time can never take away a value that is real. He's pointing directly at this trick that we've used in our mind, this thought of time. He says, he busts us in. He goes again. What fades and dies, it was never there. He hits the same nail, doesn't he? And makes no offering to him who chooses it. He is deceived by nothing in a form that he thinks he likes. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. It's so sane. It's so sane. It's the only way out of this dream of separation is to be able to have sanity like this dropped on you and then supported 400 pages and 400 pages in between. You will not be left comfortless. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me.